Only 11,000 might be the limit. So we come to the 10th house today, which is the karma power. Okay, so before I start with this, you remember the circular motion of the sun? And in the circular motion of the sun, what happens in the 10th house? The sun reaches its highest point, right? It's most cruder, the blazing heat comes over there, the mid-heaven, as you call it in English, right? It's Vishnu Gayatri time. And that is the time when sun is at the strongest, and the sun is the giver of work, and the sun is the giver of Rajya. Alright? And it reaches the zenith. So, it is like the Swarga over there. So that 10th house is also actually Swarga. So the divisional chart of the 10th house, we often refer to it as Swargamsha. Not just Dashamsha, we also refer to it as Swargamsha. So now, who is the king in Swarga? Indra. So 10th house is the Indrasthana, and Indra sits over there. So the way we have it, the Lagna is Prajapati, because that is the creator, and 10th house is Indra. You know, in my first ever Jyotish lesson in the Parampara, that is what I learned. To draw the chart with Prajapati in Lagna and Indra in 10th house. That is the main thing. So Indra sits over there, and Indra is the king of the apparently of all the material benefits and material glory and everything. So whoever is the king over there, you are supposed to get the kingdom. Sri Rama had Surya exalted in the 10th house. Okay, all big kings will have very powerful 10th houses. Very big people whose charts you will subsequently see in other years, big industrialists, big presidents will all have very big, powerful yogas in the 10th house. That is Indra. That is the Rajya. That is the kingdom. Alright, that is the main meaning. Now a deeper meaning, we also call it the karma bhava. So when we use the word karma, what does it mean? Again, it's not just this karma. It is not just your job in the IT industry or your job wherever it is. It's not just this job. That job also we see. Because we see everything from this level to that level. But it also refers to karma of your past life. Okay, whatever work you are doing has a repercussion. Karma phala. Do you know in puja, fruits are offered. It's whatever sweets may be offered, but fruits are offered. And in any main puja that we have, even a small puja, like a Shivaratri puja or even a small puja that we have, minimally five types of fruit has to be offered, one each at least in a small puja. So these five fruits represent the five tattvas. Because our karmas are all associated with the five tattvas. So what we are doing is we are offering, here literally fruit is representing karma phala, the fruits of our karma. And we are offering that to God. That oh God, whatever karma we may have done, good or bad, the result of this, that I am offering to you. So karma phala is a very, very important thing. And we say in our philosophy that depending on our karma, as we so shall we reap. That is what we believe in. That depending on your karma, you will get the ill or bad effects. To the extent, depending on our karmas in past life, we suffer in this life. If somebody has a very afflicted shukra in every possible way, very badly placed, mashed totally to the bits, we then feel that, oh, I know the person is not getting married or is suffering in every relationship. We meet people like this, you know, who come to us. Then we definitely see the past life chart that there must be some karma in the past life where, you know, either you have cheated your husband or you've done something you have done, as a result of which in this life you are denied that love or that sukha. Okay, so karma phala is not only this life, but we are carrying over karma phala. That is why Shashtyamsa chart is so important. Everything is even sometimes people in profession, they may be doing everything, but somehow or the other they are getting beaten. Somehow or the other nothing is happening. It's like there is no explanation. So it depends on whichever area of life, maybe with your parents, whatever you do, your parents don't like you, or one of your parents don't like you. These things happen. You don't understand why. What is this I have done? I don't understand it. This is all a result of past karma. And in this life also, whatever we do, that's why we always say, if you know, the karma that we do from this hand must be clean and pure. So, 10th house, remember, is a house of longevity, 1/8 and 10. So, first house you understand, right? That's the lagna, you are born from there, that's yourself. 8th house, you understand. Okay, we did a lot of it yesterday, that's connected to your puzzle. But why the 10th house, you may have wondered. Why was the 10th house the key longevity house? 1/8 and 10. So, the 10th house is because of this, because your karmas determine your fate in life, your ayu, everything. So, when we are talking about karma bhava, this is the karmas related to this. Because longevity is related to your karma. Again, that's why very important house. So, all houses are very important. So, Rajyam. Rajya, cha kasha vrittim, cha manam, chaiva, pitus tatha, pravasasya, rinasyapi, vyomasthana nirikshanam. So, Rajya, that is the kingdom, which we already talked about. And everything that is related to the kingdom, that is your throne, your status, your authority, your power, everything. And that is why the 8th house from it is the 5th house, which determines whether you will retain that status and kingdom or that will fall. If you remember in the 5th house, it says Rajya Napabhramsha, and we calculate Dharika Lagna with the 5th house longevity. It is all because of this, because it is the 8th house from this. Whether this shall fall, you shall lose the kingdom, or you will retain your status and throne, or you may get promoted from being the empress of UK, you can be the empress of the whole world by colonizing. What is your status? Or you shall lose everything. So that is the 5th house, 10th house thing. The 5th house will determine whether you are retaining it or not retaining it. Okay? So, Ghatika Lagna calculated from longitude of 5th house. So, kingdom, authority, king and the leader. Whoever is the leader. So, for the king of a country, for the president of a country, for the prime minister of a country, for the CEO of a company, for the leader of an organization, for the teacher of this course, for anybody, the 10th house has to be favorable to us. If I leave on a muhurta from home, 10th house has to be favorable. The teacher has to be, it has to be favorable for the teacher. If the chief minister, the prime minister, the president of the country, for them, it has to be favorable, the 10th house. They are the king. So the leader and the CEO is seen from the 10th house. Alright? Not just the kingdom. And it is, again, extending from that, it is Akasha, it is the sky, it is the throne. That is what I talked about, the Swarga. The Indra sits over there. So Swarga, so that is what is referring to it as Akasha, the sky throne. Then Vritti. Vritti again, it is talking about behavior. Why is it talking about behavior and code of conduct in 10th house? We did talk about it in 9th house, which was very understandable because it is dharma and righteousness, etc. Why is it talking about in 10th house also? That you see code of conduct and your behavior.
Because it creates karma.
It creates karma. Yes, exactly. It does create karma. And the kind of karma you do will also be related to that. You don't think that the king of a drug cartel is going to exactly have a code of conduct of behavior, is it? So your behavior and your karma is very much related to each other. Very much related. If you are behaving badly, that is going to show on your karma as well. That means if you are behaving badly as a leader, as a king, as a head, alright, the work that you are doing, in that work you are behaving badly, that is intertwined with the karma. You can't separate out your moral code of conduct from the karma that you are doing. If you are laying so much of stress on the kind of karma you are doing, if you do not lay stress on the kind of karma you are doing, then code of conduct has nothing to do with the 10th house.
So, Samaniji, so you are saying that the 9th house is ethics in the way you see things, and the 10th house is ethics in the way you do things.
Yeah, so we are seeing ethics and righteousness in both. I mean, 9th house will also have the additional thing of righteousness into it. But here exactly, code of conduct is also seen from this house in the way you are doing things. Yes. You will see that some of these things are common to a few of the houses, but you must know why. What is the reason behind it? That is the important thing. So, it is coming down to your profession, your source of livelihood. Everybody is not a CEO of a company, right? You can be just a salaried person doing a job. You can be, Ritu is a school teacher doing a job. Alright? For her also the 10th house is her throne. She may not have a kingdom. She may not be sitting on the throne. She may not be a king. But her sustenance, her livelihood, her karma is seen from the 10th house. In that sense, it is vritti. Vritti means livelihood, sustenance and karma, actual karma. Okay? The work that you are doing. Then mana. Mana here doesn't only mean mind but also means your status. Pitu means again related to vritti. It's your source of nourishment and food. That means what you are working, you are working for your livelihood, you are getting paid for it. You may not even get paid for it. What about those who are doing voluntary work or charity work? In a voluntary organization, they are not paid for it. Isn't that karma? Doesn't that come under the 10th house? Have you heard of the yoga, dharma, karmadhipati yoga? So can somebody tell me what is the... Yes, it is an association between the 9th house and the 10th house. Dharma, karmadhipati yoga. That is, you are doing the work as if that is your dharma. You don't care whether you are paid or not. So, people who are heads of spiritual organizations or who are working in spiritual organizations or those who are voluntaries, you know, any one of us can just say that we are doing voluntary work. We don't get a salary. My husband gets a salary, I just only do voluntary work somewhere. Maybe sustain serious voluntary work, not just giving an hour every day. Proper work, but that is voluntary. That will also come from here. That will also come from here. But the nature of that work is different. That is related, that is, there is a connection with the 9th house. Lot of people may be salaried workers, like many of you, or heads of companies, like many of you, or having your own businesses, like many of you, but may work without looking at hours. Without looking, you know, many people, I don't know whether it still happens in these days, but at least during my childhood is traffic, there would be people in companies who would work for the company as if it's their own company. They would not bother how much of salary they are getting. They would not bother what the work timings are. That time there was not so much of measured overtime and those things were not there. They would work for the, they were just, you know, like especially for old business houses which were like institutions. They would just work. They would be there for 30 years, 40 years. They would be so loyal to the company. They would, you know, I mean, they would be more dedicated and committed to that business, to the company than to their own family probably. What kind of, what is that? That is also not just doing a money salary thing. Those people in their charge will surely have some element of dharma karmadhipati yoga over there also. That you are working as if it's my karma. So, many times in people's chart, you will see that you will exactly know this is the nature of the person. Wherever he works, if it's somebody else's company or business, this is the way the people work. So, there are, I mean, as I said, I don't know whether in the current generation you do have people like that, but when we were young, we did see a lot of people like this who worked. And they stayed with the company for donkey's years and, you know, they would be very loyal. So, all that a 9th house, 10th house thing. Karma, but karma which is going beyond caring. Spiritual head of organization, the head of, say, Arta Foundation, maybe the Pope, the head of Ramakrishna Mission, head of Chinmaya Mission. Yes, their headship, if you get their charts, yes, we will see their position as the spiritual head also from the 10th house. Though they are not getting any monetary remuneration for it. That would also be seen from the 10th house. Because that is a position of a throne they are holding. They have status attached to it and it is karma. So karma, whether it is paid or not paid, you are seeing from 10th house. Get a point. Whether it is paid, whether it is not paid. So get a very good idea of what karma is. Pravasa, dwelling abroad, foreign residence. So this foreign residence shlokas are like quite multiple. Even Parashara himself actually says, lot of association with 12th house, of course. with 11th house and with 10th house. So there's a whole linkage over there. There are particular shlokas connecting with each other. 12th lord and 11th, all kinds of things are there. Lagna lord and 12th, all of you will know. But 12th lord and 11th also shows foreign residents. So 10th house, he's saying, is also for foreign residents. Rina. Now this is very interesting. He said that in version 2 of Bombay edition, Rina is the subject of 8th house. This is what we follow, more or less everybody, most traditions follow. Rina, that is whether it is of your past life Rina, or whether it is a monetary Rina or a loan you've taken from a bank, it is from the 8th house. Alright, it is not seen from other houses. Vyomasthana, it is the Akasha Lagna. That we have already gone through, we've discussed that. It is a Vishnu Gayatri, it is the Akasha Lagna. Alright, Jala Lagna is the 4th house. Okay, and Akasha Lagna is the 10th house. So the 4-10 axis is supposed to be very important. And as I mentioned once before, it is the Sky Father and the Earth Mother which actually maintain this 4-10 axis. Okay, Aya Bhava. Aya means your income. It is also called Labha Bhava, your gains. It is a house of dream fulfillments. Do you know that? Whatever you dream or plan for the future, because it is a 5th house from the 7th, it is a house of dream fulfillment. When you have dasha of a planet placed in the 11th house, or maybe of the 11th lord, you will see that many of the things that you have planned and dreamed for will get fulfilled. I am at present running the dasha of a planet in the 11th house, which happens to be my 11th lord also. Ask me, it is true. Even though it is a malefic planet, it actually gets fulfilled. Even small little things. Alright? House of dream fulfillment. House of Aya, meaning what you are gaining, the income. That is why it is the 2nd house to the 10th, the wealth that you are getting from your karma. And this income ideally should be converted to wealth in the 2nd house. But there is a very nice connection between the 10th, 11th and 12th. So the 10th is the work, the 11th is what you are getting from the work, and the 12th is the expenditure. Also the 2nd is the wealth and the 12th is the expenditure. So that 2-12 of wealth and expenditure is a very important yoga that is put on the lagna. Okay, but the aim should be that whatever you earn from here, the income that you are getting, that income should get converted into wealth in the 2nd house. Whether it does or not, depends on your chart. We also see occult education from this house. Why? Because we said occult is from the 8th house. So it is the 4th house from that. Your basic fundamental occult education we can see from the 11th house. That is why having Ketu in the 11th house, Jupiter in the 11th house, all these things promote Shastri for Jyotish knowledge. Ketu rules Jyotish knowledge, Jupiter rules Vedic knowledge. Because Jyotish knowledge can be all kinds. You can be studying from the Lal Kitab also. What guarantees that you will be studying either from a parampara or that you will be learning from the scriptures? You are reciting the shlokas of the great Rishi Parashara. What guarantees it that you are doing and not somebody else is doing? Somebody else is maybe very happy reading Lal Kitab or taking a book and taking a formula here and a formula there. You must be having yoga. This yoga, this connection is a blessing of Jupiter. Jupiter rules Shastric knowledge of any kind, whether it is yoga, whether it is Ayurveda, whether it is Jyotish. Because as we did, Jyotish is a Vedanga, it is Veda Chakshu. So that thing will be given by Jupiter, whereas the branch Jyotish is given by Ketu. Alright, so you would like to see what planets you have in the 11th house, what aspects of planets on the 11th house. Whether there is an association of your Atmakarita planet over there or not. That means it's a soul level connection. Because the kind of Jyotish we are doing, it is a spiritual path. There is an entirely spiritual level connection over there. So your Atmakarita is not related or connected to your Jyotish and Vedic studies in any way. You wouldn't be sitting here and reciting shlokas. everybody doesn't get to do it. Lot of people want it, lot of people don't want it also. So those are the links in your chart which pushes you into getting this. Alright, so 11th house is very important over there. 11th house, as we have also said, has a peculiar position of being Harasthanam. Right? We said that it is the 6th house of 6th house. The 6th house, we said, is the house of punishment. You are getting punished because of all your repulse, your internal enemies, that is your internal sins, maybe your external sins also. And who can punish that? Who can remove that? But Shiva himself in the form of Hara. The sixth from sixth. In the natural zodiac, it is Kumbha, right? It is here in the mountains. Kumbha is a domain of higher mountains. Whereas Mesha are little hills. Yes. Those of you who have driven, who live in North India, that is when we are in Delhi or North India, we travel to Rajasthan very often. For us, driving down to Jaipur is nothing, we do it. It's a very regular feature. When you are driving down to Jaipur, you will see after you pass out of Haryana, Alwar starts, the Aravali hills start. They are like sweet little hills, little like eggshells. Right? That is Mesha. The Aravali hills are Mesha. Whereas the Himalayas or the Alps or the Rockies, these are Kumbha. This is Kumbha. Alright? And in this Kumbha Rashi, this is where Shiva is. He dwells here. The Rishis dwell here. It is a sign of the philosopher. Remember I told you when Guru transits this sign, you have the Kumbha Mela. And when it transits the sign opposite to it, you have the Ardha Kumbha in Simha. So Kumbha Rashi has a huge thing. And I also mentioned the darkest of the nights are in Kumbha Rashi. So when the sun and moon come together on the Krishna Chaturdashi, the Mahashivaratri is worshipped here. Later on you will learn that the Chandas are associated with the Bhavas. Because when the Bhavas have been created by Prajapati Brahma, he created in certain Chandas. And the Chanda which is associated with Kumbha Rashi is called Brihati Chanda, the Chanda of the Rishis. Alright, this is domain of the Rishis, domain of Shiva. Because Shiva is the Rishi of Rishis, he is the Mahayogi. Very, very important sign. Ruled by Rahu, pole ruled by Rahu along with Saturn. Rahu rules poison. So from here Shiva drank poison and held it. Harasthana. So he is the one who can drink the poison that we create for ourselves in the sixth house over there. Very interesting. And here is where our income is also coming. Our dreams and fulfillments are also coming. It is a very, very interesting house. It is the natural Badakasthana. Right? We talked about Badakasthana. It is a natural Badakasthana. Rahu is a natural Badaka. All the Badakas in our chart act like Rahu. So whether Jupiter is your Badaka, whether Venus is your Badaka, whether Mercury is your Badaka, actually they all become little Rahus in our chart. Alright, there is a little remedy associated with this. You may try and see if it suits your chart, you may do it. We say that the house where Rahu is placed in your horoscope, you take the Karaka of that planet. And if you take the Karaka of that planet, you can wear the stone of that planet. Especially if that Karaka has gone to the 12th house. Say for example, I have Rahu in the 5th house, the Karaka of the house is Jupiter. Jupiter for me is in the 12th house. For me it is very, very beneficial to wear a yellow sapphire. And of course it's my Lagna Lord. As I mentioned, the Lord of the Lagna and the Lord of the 9th house are the single most beneficial planets for you to wear their gemstones, provided that they are, it is, your chart permits it and it is not too badly afflicted or conjunct negative planets. It is a most beneficial thing. If you want to give a stone, if the chart promises that yes, you can give a stone, yet you don't know what stone to give, you are confused, blindly take up Lagna Lord. That's the life will become okay, not just health. The life sets. The life will come into what we call in Hindi, track mein aa jayega, raste pe aa jayega, what you say. Alright. But you have to be careful in this. If that Lagna Lord is cursed with a bunch of planets, look at Cindy's chart. She has Scorpio Lagna with two Lagneshas over there. And there is another planet, right? Mars, Ketu and Moon. Would you then give her a Mars stone? very easily. You know the combination that is forming it. You would think twice, right? To give her a red color. So you will have to judge and see. I can wear, though my Jupiter is in the 12th house, I can wear because my Jupiter peculiarly does not have drishti of any planets. It is a lagnesha without grahadrishti of a single planet and rashidrishti only of Rahu and Shukra from the 5th house.
And the
Yeah, it has no, which means it is a very unsupported planet. Always traditional astrologers used to tell me that this is not good to have the Lagnesha unsupported. That means you are unsupported by people, you operate on your own. Which has been very true for my life, at least for the first half of my life. Very unsupported. Peculiar condition of no grahas aspecting. So, wearing the Jupiter stone, and I have Jupiter in Avamsha Lagna in Pisces, wearing the Jupiter stone is highly beneficial for me in every way. It did definitely help me in my marriage. It is in the 12th house, it is a Nishta. And for women, apart from Venus being the Karaka for marriage and love, Jupiter is the Karaka for husband as an additional Karaka. So it was very important. It is a single most benefic planet without having anything. The fact that it is my Lagnesha also completely clinched the deal. And this yellow sapphire didn't come to me easily. I first wore a citrine, then I wore a heliodor, and then I came to the yellow sapphire. It didn't come easily. Alright, it will help, okay, if I'm doing Jupiter's work, which I am doing. I'm involved in Shastric knowledge, I'm involved in teaching, I'm involved in writing. So definitely in my karma, it is the 10th Lord also. 10th Lord gone to the 12th is not a good thing, you will learn. That means it's gone. So it will help me in my activities because I happen to be doing Jupiterian activities. But it fits into the formula that Jupiter is the Karaka of the house where my Rahu is and it has gone to the 12th house. So it helps, definitely. Guruji has Rahu in the 4th house. The Karaka of that house, Moon, has gone to the 12th house. If he wears a pearl, it is very good. Many people who really specialize in gem therapy and all, Sui and all, have been really telling him that all you need to do, Guruji, is wear pearl. And that pearl also exalts Guru, right? Pearl also exalts Guru. So all you really need to do is pearl. When I'm wearing my Pokraj, probably it is good for my Chandra also. My moon is exalted. Jupiter is exalted in his moon sign. So, you know, when you wear a pearl, it actually is helping your Jupiter. And this also is actually helping my Venus because Venus gets exalted in Jupiter's sign. So, pearl is very, very important for him. So, if you have this combination that Rahu is in a house and the Karaka of that house has gone to the 12th house, and especially if it is a benefic planet. Now, definitely if it is Rahu itself or if it is if it is Saturn or something, don't go in for it. I mean, I wouldn't advise, yes, jump into the thing and start wearing a blue sapphire, no. But definitely for benefic planets, you can very easily wear. Alright, it's a simple remedy to control the Rahu. It is a formula to control Rahu. So if you have such a thing, anybody in your chart, and the planet is a benefic planet, then go ahead and wear it. Whether it's a pearl or a yellow sapphire, or maybe an emerald or a diamond, you can very easily go ahead and do it. Alright? Yeah.
But with a debilitated benefit?
With a debilitated benefit? Well, it depends, you decide. That's what I'm saying, you decide whether you want to use it or not. Mm-hmm. If you feel that no, it's debilitated, I don't feel like we're using it, I feel it will increase the debility. You see the whole chart, then don't wear it. That decision you will have to take. I can give you the formula. After that, the decision you have to take. You can't say Rahu's in a house where Saturn is the Karaka, my Saturn is in the 12th house and hang around wearing a blue sapphire. No, you can't be blind. You have to make judgment. The formulas are there, you have to take the judgment. Yeah.
But just as a very general rule, if a planet is debilitated, does the gemstone increase the debility or does it create Nicha Bhanga for
the planet? It depends how it is. How the planet is placed in the horoscope. Let me put it another way for you. If a planet is very, very afflicted, alright? If a planet is extremely afflicted, badly aspected, badly hammered in, I wouldn't want to wear the stone of that planet. And especially if it is a malefic. What I would do if I have a blessing in the chart, that's why stones don't suit every horoscope. Please remember that. Every horoscope cannot contain a wear a stone. Only some horoscopes may allow to wear a stone. So if I see that, oh, there is another benefit which is cutting it and it's placed very well in some strong yoga, why not amplify that blessing so that this negativity will get cut? I would be interested to know, if you see the whole of Cindy's chart and see whether a yellow sapphire will suit her, because Jupiter is in its own sign in second house. It is also fifth lord, right? Not bad wearing a fifth lord stone or a second lord stone. I'm wearing an eighth lord stone. But one will have to examine the chart. But that thought is definitely in my head. Let me see. It will be very strong. It will give Shubha Yoga on her lagna. So will it suit? But you have to see the whole chart. We have not analyzed the whole chart. I'm only knowing one of the yogas. I haven't even seen a chart. So I cannot say. Without seeing the chart, we cannot say. But definitely, if any of you are seeing, it is something worthwhile examining. Will that help? Will that strength of Jupiter help? Where is that Jupiter aspecting? If it is fifth lord, the Jupiter, what are the houses Jupiter is aspecting? Any of the benefits are aspecting the lagna. Now, definitely for Vikas, if Shukra is Lagnesha in Digvala, mantra is given to you, but I think you can very happily wear diamonds. I mean, I don't know what are your other aspects. I will not comment because I have not seen the full chart, but I am just saying from the single thing, I think that if he wears a diamond, it will suit him very well. So you should examine your full chart, and it is Lagnesha stone. So apart from doing mantra, if he also does the thing, it probably will do wonders. I have a problem with Venus. Okay? As I told you, my Venus is caught up in a Kalasarpa Yoga and it is badly afflicted. It is conjoined Rahu, aspected by Saturn, and in the Kalasarpa Yoga. It is badly trapped. Though it is the 8th lord, but it is in the 5th house. And there is Rashi Rishi, it is in a 6-8 position from Jupiter. But still, this is answer to your question. Decided to wear the diamond. I needed to hear, because Shukra is a benefit planet, I needed to rescue Shukra from that whole situation. So I did a very intense Kamalatmika sadhana, full sadhana, high, heavy duty. I did that. And I wore this ring, which is 5 diamonds. All of it together is making about 1 carat, so it's not heavy. All right, 5 diamonds of the Venus is in the 5th house, which is a nice placement. It is in the sign of Cancer, which is nice. Those things are in favor. It is a nice Shukra, if not for that Rahu Ketu. It is also Shubhapati, it is a moon sign lord. Moon sign lord is benefit, is highly beneficial. And it is in exchange with the moon as well. So there is a lot of Shubha combination with my Shukra over there. Being in exchange with the moon, and being the moon sign lord, so it's a Taurus-Cancer exchange over there. Whether it's in Cancer and by exchange going to Taurus, wherever. So a lot of Shubha things are there, but unfortunately it has got trapped in this. And for me, I need to release Venus from my chart. I needed to. So I did everything related to Venus.
It sounds like what you're saying is when there's a planet that has affliction or is debilitated, the judgment is whether it is being afflicted or whether it is causing affliction. Like
yeah,
Venus,
yeah,
for
it
example,
is being afflicted.
Being afflicted.
Yes.
And some other planet is causing the affliction.
Yeah, it is being afflicted very strongly, but it also has a lot of beneficial sides to it. His house placement is very nice. Fifth house, I think I forgot to mention this point to you. Fifth house is also the house of love and bhakti. So in the divine sense, because it is mantra over there, it will show bhakti. Somebody, like the bhakti, the kind of Radha had. People who sing a lot of devotional songs and, who are in the bhakti marga, that is seen from fifth house. And our bhaktis, that is our love affairs, are also seen from fifth house. So it is a house of, thing over there. Venus in fifth house is very nice. It's nice to have Venus in fifth house. It is in the sign of Cancer, which is very nice. It is Shubhapati, the moon sign lord, very nice. Exchange with an exalted moon, very nice. Oh, how nice is that moon, Venus was uncaught. So I did everything to increase whatever good the Venus had. What I'm doing is increasing the goodness of Venus. So the good part of Venus becomes very strong and it can lord over Rahu. So there is a tussle between moon and Rahu over my Venus. But You can say the other part, if there was no nice jala association with the Venus or house placement, what would have been the case? I don't know. You have to see the chart. So in my chart, it helped. So if you want to formalize it and say, yes, you can wear an 8 lord stone, it doesn't go like that. It will say that is my chart supporting me. I feel my Venus had a lot of nice things, and if I take that Venus out, it will be very good for me. It's my Amartya Karaka also.
Like we could say, the Vex Venus is causing the affliction to me.
Yeah, in his case, causing the affliction, it has become an evil planet.
Evil planet.
Yes, we need to do something else which will counter it. But my Venus already had a lot of nice things to it. I want to release it from the affliction. So you have, that's why I said you have to study each other and see what it is. So you have your formulas and you apply, but you see the formulas applying over here. So fifth house placement is good, Shubhapati's planet is good. So it is a Shubhapati's planet. Jupiter, yes, it's my Lagnesha. Alright, Shukra, yes, it is Lagnesha. I can blindly say it because it is his Lagna Lord. Lagna Lord and ninth Lord always will benefit you. Yes.
Well, mostly when we see the cards of Yuga, so Rahu is in the first house. Okay, and the Karaka for that is the Surya.
Yeah.
And Surya is in the 10th house. Now, considering Surya as a crude bear, still you know, to, yeah, since Rahu is in the first house, afflicting your intelligence and everything, and driving you away, and to bring the rightness in the mind, okay?
Yeah, what you do? You will need to say no. If now that planet was in the 12th house, then the stone of that planet is very important. This is in the 10th house. But to avoid this question, if you just say Rahu is in the Lagna, which is affecting the person's mind, who are the two planets who can control that or can counter it? Is Jupiter and Surya. Jupiter is the one who can counter, who can give you good buddhi, Shuchi Maitya Brihaspati. Surya naturally, because of Surya is through Prakash, through light, and Jupiter is through intelligence. These are the two things which can counter now. Now you will have to see the chart to see where it is placed. Where is Guru and where is Surya? So in this chart where you are saying Rahu is, where is Jupiter in the chart?
Jupiter is in 7th and Surya is in the 10th.
Oh, very interesting. So Jupiter is in the Kendra. Why will you not maximize Jupiter? Because you are saying Guru Chandra is happening.
No, since it is a Marakstana, so that is why I have.
No, it is not Marakstana. It is Marakstana, but a planet over there we don't consider as Marakstana. That is not the way. It is Marakstana, so when the Dasha of the seventh lord will come, that is a Marakesh. But the Marakstana planet, we don't see that like that. Jupiter is very beneficial because it's a Kendra Guru. So you have learnt that it has full power. But if it is a 1-7 thing, there is a Drishti, there is some element of Guru Chandra over there, isn't it? What is a Rashi?
Rashi is the Taurus.
Rashi is Taurus. Oh, so that is Rahu is an Ayush divinity.
Yeah.
And Jupiter is in Scorpio in the 7th.
Rahu is in the Scorpio and Jupiter is in the Taurus. 1-7.
Rahu is in Scorpio, Jupiter is in the Taurus. So the thing is, it's very interesting. He is asking, though this is not directly related to this, but since this question has come up related to stones, we can talk about this. It's a chart which is Scorpio Lagna, has Rahu in Lagna, Jupiter in the 7th and Sun in the 10th. So the question is that Jupiter and Sun are the two planets which can curb that Rahu, which is afflicting, he's saying, the Lagna or the thinking of the person.
Scorpio rising.
It is Scorpio rising.
Sun in Leo.
Yes.
Straight away.
He has said Sun in Digbala we will opt for. Jupiter in the 7, 1-7 is also giving Guru Chandala. You get the point? There is an element of Guru Chandala. How strong will Guru be in curtailing Rahu? We don't know. Whether the Sun is in Digbala.
And
it's an own sign. But this is the way you do the thing. So then in this case, because Sun is an own sign and in Digbala, we capitalize on that and then you would wear a ruby. You can wear a ruby, I would definitely say that. Get the point? This is very easy to catch. Now if it was not Digbala, if Sun say was in 4th house, what would you have chosen? So then you have to choose.
But constitution is also
yes, in this case it is definitely the thing that we chosen. Yeah, any problem? You all are going on smiling, Natalia and Lana. What is in your mind? Share with us. Last 10 minutes, I'm seeing them smiling away.
Venus effect.
Venus effect. Yeah.
Guruji, so if we speak about gemstones, can you please advise, you said you can advise some proper place to get it.
Proper place to get gemstone?
Let me ask, you said, okay, I will say it, tell for it.
No, because, oh, gemstone, you said. See, the thing is that we actually don't have anybody who is, we don't buy ourselves, we never buy gemstones. Alright, I mean the only gemstones we have bought is our yellow sapphire, which we bought in America from Jay Boyle. And Jay Boyle, the positive thing about him is that he gives you really good Jyotish quality gemstones, but he is frightfully expensive. But so this was like very much a planned purchase, and you know we had saved money and this and that, that we are both going to get our yellow sapphires from there, so it was a big production. But most of the gemstones now you get are heated. All the gemstones, yellow sapphires that you are getting in India are heated. It's very difficult to get unheated yellow sapphires.
What is a heated yellow sapphire?
Heated yellow sapphires, because they are not naturally yellow. They have been chemically heated and made yellow. No, it is not, you don't get. Natural stones used to get in Ceylon a lot. Now the Ceylonese ones are also heated. What you are getting are more whitish stones. But J-Boyle keeps really untreated, and you know this, that untreated yellow sapphire is very expensive. Okay, number one. Number two, in India now it is very difficult to get it. Very difficult to get it in India. Okay, so J-Boyle is like those of you who are in the US, or even if you are not in the US, but you can afford him. You know, he gives you pictures of a lot of stones, he even couriers it to you to see, and he couriers it back to you, he has a production. But very good, he only deals with Jyotish gemstones. Alright? You can buy just the stone from him and do it. You can ask him to even do the ring, but then it becomes more expensive, so it's up to you. So, that is one thing. Then, here, where, for the people who are in India, I would say that if you have your own trusted jewelers, the whole thing in India is that if you have your own jeweler who's trusted and who for donkey's years your family is going to, and that person is a good source, and it is likely that the person won't cheat you and will get a good stone for you. So for Indians, I always advocate do that. Alright. In Europe, I wouldn't know.
There is a contact person in London as well. In fact, that person was to come to the Baba conference last year, but didn't show up. Mm-hmm. So there is but I don't know that person's name offhand. But astrologicalgems.com is Jay Boyle's company.
And
so
the thing is that is the main issue. I mean, we don't associate ourselves with gemstones because that's not our business. So a lot of astrologers do that, we don't do it because we think that is wrong, it is not our business. Selling of the gemstone is a jeweler's or a gemstone dealer's business. So we don't associate, I cannot recommend. I cannot even recommend a jeweler in Delhi because I've never bought jewelry in my life. I have a lot of jewelry which are all gifted either by my family or by my husband who buys when they are traveling, or my jewelry are from Calcutta. If you are from Calcutta, I can recommend my jeweler to you in Calcutta. Definitely. He is very good. Alright. He also charges, but he can get you any stone. So I can definitely tell you, they come from a very traditional jewelers called Satrangas Dhalamal. And the person who now runs the company, he is young, in his 40s, and he also does a lot of designing and into the fashion industry, etc., etc. He can get you very, very good gemstones.
No,
he's on Park Street. It's Satrangas Dhalamal. He's on Park Street and his name is Raj Mehtani. And you can go and definitely take my name,
yes,
because he knows me, my family very well. So my family members buy jewelries from there. I get gifted from there. So I'm his muse, for want of a better word. So, but he will get it for you. He'll get genuine stones. Yes, very good quality. Like, if you say, I want a Colombian emerald, he'll get it for you. Yeah, his name is Raj Mahatani, and the name of the shop is Satrangas Dhalamal. It is an ancestral shop. He's very, very good. So that I know, so I can tell you. And Delhi, I don't know. I mean, we just have somebody in the back of our house to fix our chains and things like that when something breaks. But or if you need to buy something as a gift. But I cannot. Okay, we did have one place. Let me tell you. This is a place called Sundar Nagar. You can write the name down. In Sundar Nagar, this is near the Oberoi Hotel. There is a Sundar Nagar market over there. In the market, there is a jewelry store called Mayur Jewelers. That is also a family business. Now, there was a chap over there. One, you know, it was belonged to two brothers. So one of the brothers' son was called Arvind. He was very supportive with whatever we were doing. And he gave us a very good price and got very good genuine gemstones. So we have got pearls from him. And then many people who went, like when Andrew got married, we sent him over there. When many people like you all are asking, we would send them to him and we would give genuine stones at a very good price. He also had sources where that shop is very connected to royal families also, because they would often sell jewelries of royal family. Royal families often sell out their jewelry. So they have, you know, jewelry made by Kathir for Maharaja of Patiala and things like this. So they do have good collection. Their craftsmanship is also very good. Just like Sakam Naz's craftsmanship is very good. But what has happened, when this boy's father passed away, his father and his cousin's father were brothers who ran the shop. So the cousin, who was a much elderly man, chucked him out. Once he chucked him out, we stopped going there. And they did give good stuff, but the gentleman over there, he's going to charge you fully. He's not going to give you a price, like if you recommend our names and all that. Like, he's very interested to cultivate us because we've sent so many people to him. But if you are not giving a good price, why should we? You know? But he does have a source. They do have a source, so you can explore. This is Mayur Jewelers in Sundar Nagar. So because we've had experience with them, I can mention. And I'm sure there are other people in Delhi, but we don't know. And the whole thing is about jewelry in India, as I'm telling you, unless you know, we cannot recommend. So, you are in Jaipur, you should ask Vikas to cultivate. Vikas is from Jaipur.
You are saying absolutely right. I have seen in Jaipur how they heated the stone and make it yellow. So, it's not right unless and until you know it.
Yeah, unless you know jewelry. Jaipur is a big center in India for gems. The people, the goldsmiths who craft and who make it are all from Bengal, and the diamond cutters are all from Gujarat, and the gem dealers are all from Jaipur. So Jaipur, you can go, there are roads and streets which are just gem shops. But you need to know. I wouldn't know who's a gem.
Panna, you can find good quality panna in Jaipur.
Emeralds, yeah. So, you know, maybe you can ask Vikas to cultivate it. He's from Jaipur, he lives in Jaipur. No, your wife runs a boutique, so her Venus is good. Why don't you ask her to look into it? Work like this, yes.
One of my friends from Jaimini is living in Delhi and he's going to diamonds.
I know. I know who that is, but I mean...
You don't
recommend. I don't know to recommend. I will not say I don't recommend. He lives right next to my house. Yes. But I've never been to his shop and I don't know the quality he's doing. He has a jewelry shop in Karol Bagh. Karol Bagh is a center of jewelry shop. But I don't know him personally. I mean, his shop or his work. So, I mean, I don't want to get into the situation where I recommend and that. But I think that since he is a student, he's with these Germany students, and so is her colleague. So I'm sure that if you all go and you say that you are from the Parampara, I'm sure he will give you a good deal. I'm very sure of it. So people in Delhi can try him out. His name is Anil Bansal. But I'm not recommending. We are not in touch with him. I mean, even personally, we are not in touch with him. We don't have any communication with him. Let's put it that way. Although he is right next to me.
The has come. So this is one question. Is there any significance to the number of carats that
they generally recommend? Yeah, it does. It does to the amount of weight, not only your own physical weight, but also to the amount you want to do for the stone itself. How much of the stone you want, how much of the energy you want it. That depends. That judgment has to be taken.
Okay.
You can ask Guruji for that, don't ask him. Please.
Yes.
Whether it is 2 carats or 3 carats, one is the person and the person's body weight. I know that. If a very big, burly man would require a heavy carat, I know that. That one thing I do know. The other thing, it is determined how much seed. Would I wear permanently like a huge 6-carat solitaire? If that is a question. No, because that would be very strong for my height and my body. It is my 8th lord. With Rahu, those things, questions are there. So I wouldn't want to wear permanently. I can wear when I'm going out on a wedding or whatever. I can take up a permanent wearing as a Jyotish stone with the bottom open. Would I wear a permanently some 6-carat Kohinoor diamond or 10-30-carat Kohinoor diamond? No. I'm sure it will aggravate my 8th lord also. So this is, all together, it is 1 carat. So very safe. You understand?
Guruji mentioned so many times, I've heard him say so many times, his grandfather, who was such a great astrologer, never recommended a gem.
No.
Never recommended a gem. So, I mean, you know, when one of the greatest astrologers has never recommended, who are we?
Here. Parashara has not recommended gems. Have you come across it in any of the shlokas you are reading? When you read Rishta Arishta, he recommends mantras and pujas. When you read it, recommends throughout Vyad Parashara, it is there. We do have gem therapy, it is called Uparatnas, Ratnas and Uparatnas. The Garur Puran talks a little bit about it and things like that. Just the way we have so many other therapies. But it is not traditionally recommended in Jyotish. Number 2, and this is the point I want to make. Guruji also recommends, but it will only be recommended if your chart demands it. This is the point I'm trying to tell you. You cannot force me to recommend a stone for somebody. If a chart, sometimes we look at it, we feel, oh yes, this planet is so beneficial, it is cutting it. Do the mantra, wear the gemstone, it's a benefit. I told Vikas straight away, right? Lagneshan Digbala Shukra. Straight away, and it is cutting a lot of things, and I don't know what are other benefits looking at it or not. If it is a mantra gemstone, yes, go ahead, it's very good. It'll amplify your mantras. It'll amplify the beneficence. Gemstone do not suit everybody's charm. So even when you're recommending, you have to be very careful. And when you recommend it for people who can't do mantras, gemstone again is district court, mantras is Supreme Court. Gemstones are at the level of doing Graha Mantras. People who can't do high level sadhanas and things. I always give this. Doing Avatara Mantras is going to the Supreme Court. Shiva Mantras going to the Supreme Court. Devi Mantras going to the Supreme Court. You've gone to the village panchayat, you've gone for Graha Mantra. At that level, you know, sometimes businessmen come to us for reading who are so totally unspiritual, they will not do a mantra also. Then what do? If the chart supports a stone, recommend a stone. Sometimes women, especially women from the West, American women, they love wearing stones. American clients, whenever they come, they say, though you've not recommended stones to us, can you tell us which stones will suit us when we wear jewelry? So then we say, okay, wear this, or try to wear a lot of pearls, or yes, diamonds suit you a lot. You can always wear diamonds whenever you want. So that is not like a gem recommendation, like 3 carats on your ring finger on such and such day. But this is a question we do receive from American women. Please recommend stones which are beneficial for us if you like to wear stones. So you can do that. Definitely. I avoid wearing garnets. We receive a lot of gems wearing it. Somebody gives me garnets, I gift it away. I don't wear garnets at all. Garnets or gomed, which are Rahu stone, I never wear. But as much as diamonds I get gifted, I wear them in full glory. No problem wearing diamonds, no problem wearing pearls. I never wear a blue sapphire. I don't even like to wear a blue colored stone. I got gifted with a beautiful lapis lazuli, you know. And I got it gifted on a Saturday and something very bad happened. Oh, ratchet my
foot. Oh no.
The next day.
Oh, God.
The evening I received it on a Saturday evening the next day. And Guruji said, no, that's in your mind. I said, no. Out. I gave it away. So, you have to know, my Saturn may be very good, but blue-colored stones may not suit me. It doesn't mean I will, because remember, Saturn stones are very powerful. That's why a Neelam is very rarely recommended.
Yeah.
I mean, Amitabh Bachchan, who's a superstar in our country, superstar, he is Kumbh Lagna, and he wears this double dark blue sapphire. That has taken him there, that has also made him come down. But you have to know who can tie it. Many times it is recommended for some people to wear a sky blue in the Nila. So we do have a gem, you know, in Dubai, along with the Vastu workshop, he had also spoken on gems. So those of you who are interested, you ask him for the recordings of that. I think the person who organized the workshop, a Gemini scholar, he probably sold the recording.
He sells that, right?
You purchased it. So it was a Vastu and gem workshop. Alright? Ritu was very interested in that. So Ritu, I think Guruji might give it to. So you can listen. That, in that gem thing, Alexander, there is a lot of information. Very nice information on gems. Okay, so can we go to the 12th house, to Pisces, where gems come from? See, we are in a Pisces mood. That's why you are talking of gems so much suddenly.
Because
Karthik. He's a
Gemini
scholar. So, Vyaya Bhava. So, Vyaya Bhava again is the last house. It's a very, very interesting house. It has many names. What does the name Vyaya mean?
No. Expenditure.
Yes, no. It doesn't mean expenditure. Yes, Vyaya, that is loss. That which is going away. Going away in every possible way. We have discussed this in many times, I think. Going away in every possible way. The immediate material going away, because we are coming from the 11th house, it is your expenditure you can talk about. It is the tax payment that you do. It is the purchases that you do. Whether you are spending the money to buy a house for your child's education, for your travel fare, to attend your Parashara course, to buy diamonds for your wife, to buy clothes for yourself, whatever, or a car for yourself, whatever, or even tax paying to the government, looking after your parents, these are all expenditures. So that is something where your second house is going away. So Lagna has this, as I told you, beautiful thing on the other side, on either side. Both are Vishnu's houses. Though this one is ruled by Shani. Shani is Narayan in 12th house, I told you. So second house is Hari. Very Lakshmi energy. The family, the Vasudev, that kind of a thing. Here he is Narayan. Here 12th house is known as Vishnu Padam. Alright, it is the Paramam Padam of Vishnu. It is the 9th house of the Moksha Trikona. If in the 4th house, as Rajesh asked, what is it for? In the heart lotus or Ishta sits. Then you offer the mantra to at his feet in the 12th house. Narayan is there, his feet is over there. So it is a moksha sthana. That is why Ketu is also co-lord of Pisces. Venus gets exalted over there. Why? Venus is exalted in this sign. Lot of Venusian things are there, we come to it. So in the material level, our money is going away. The income is going away. Narayan is taking that away. As Hari is giving it to you, as Narayan, he is removing everything. Totally cutting all your bondages, taking your money in the form of expenses, taking your life away also. Remember that I told you the Bhadrapada Nakshatra is over there. The symbol of the Bhadrapada Nakshatra is the bed. It is the final sleep. Whether it is the sleep that we do every night, whether it is the sleep of in a hospital, whether it is the sleep in the bed with your wife or your husband, or it is a final sleep from which you will never wake up. All kinds of sleep in the bed over here. Moksha sthana. So the highest level, it is the moksha sthana. Moksha sthana, it's so nice to have a benefit planet over there, because it will guarantee you a very nice death, a very nice path towards moksha. Very, very important to have a benefit planet in 12th house. You are blessed if you have a benefit planet in the 12th house. Your death and your after death, your moksha, is kind of designated by those planets. Alright. As I said, Ketu is the 12th lord over there. You leave the horoscope from there. It is the house of going away. Okay. That is why also going away to long distance journey, foreign travel. Any journey which is of going away, the main thing is it is going away from the horoscope. You are leaving your life, you've entered to the first house, to the 12th house, you are going away. So when we want to see foreign travel, which is a going away of a far kind, we see it from the 12th house. That's why Rahu over there, often we say, Pakka, you will have connections, you will go away to the 12th house, foreign connections and things like that, we say it. Lagnesha in 12th, if you settle abroad, it is very good for you. From the day I have got married till so many years, Guruji tells me every day, see, you have Lagnesha in 12th house, go and settle abroad. It is very good for you, I will come behind you. He can't come behind me, I have got Lagnesha in Lagna. Although I have Lagnesha in the 12th house, I have no desire to settle abroad at all. That is a different question. But people who do, it is very good for them. Their life is, materially their life is very smooth. No hassles, no obstacles. Very, very smooth life they get. Because the self has gone over there. Yeah, sorry.
If a 12th house is going away, final going away there, then why do we say that 7th house is Marana and not 12th house?
No. Marana, Rudra, Moksha, they are all related to death, but they are all different things. 12th house is the only house which is the house of moksha. You leave the planet from here. Whether you will actually get moksha or not, that's a different thing. There is a ways to see in the chart. But that is the place of moksha, and you take refuge in the feet of Vishnu. That is an allegory. You can take refuge in the feet of whoever. In our thing, we will say it is the Vishnu's. Vishnu Pada is over there. Padamam Padam. You take the. That is why we say Dvadash Akshari Mantra. 12 Akshara Mantras are very good for the spiritual path. All avatara mantras which are recommended to you, we always try to recommend a 12 akshara mantra. Because it is extremely good for the spiritual path. The 12 petal lotus. There is a 12 petal lotus, and inside the 12 petal lotus, there is an 8 petal lotus. Alright, the Ashtadala Padma is inside the Dwadasha Padma. When you go to ancient temples and all and you see motifs, we always count the lotus petals. We are usually 12 or 8 or 16 like that. 12 petal is very common. So that is a sign of going away. Now when we say the Rudra Bhavas, from where the Rudra will come and take. Now when you study about the Rashis, you will see that the Rashis are all joined together by a glue. And in one of the houses the glue is loose. One of the houses the glue is loose. From that place you escape the horoscope. We have the Rudras, alright? There are 11 Rudras who are holding the glue of your horoscope of the houses. But one of them is not Rudra, is Maheshwara, who will take you away. So Rudra comes through 8th house and 2nd house, because Rudra will bring through sufferings and everything. He is there, he who makes you cry. From Rud, he who makes you cry, he gives you suffering. So all your sufferings and accidents and everything and death in that way comes from Rudra Bhava, which is the 2nd house and 8th house. Rudra is a very, very deep concept. We teach it very deeply in Gemini. Second year it is all about Rudras. Till people are crying, they've heard so much about Rudras. Then you have Maranas Thanas. The 2nd house is not only a Rudra Bhava, it is also a Maranas Thana. So 2nd house and 7th house is Maranasthana, and the lords of those two houses are called Marakeshas, because they carry the death energy. Because remember, 7th house is so strong Vayu. Shani is exalted and Digbali in the 7th house. Very strong Vayu. Vayu causes movements. 7th house is house of movements. So it's a house of journeys also. Constant movements, constant journey. Vayu doesn't hold things together. It moves things. So that is also a form of journey, it is also death. So death is seen over there. That's why in the dasha or antar dasha of the 7th lord or 2nd lord, you can have illnesses. But if you are very ill and about to die, it is a dicey period. So these are maranas, rudras are troubles and sufferings that are getting, which may also include death. 12th house is moksha. You are leaving the planet, that is a moksha sthana.
So you're making a distinction between death and going away.
Yes.
7th is death, 12th is going away.
Yes, they are, death is seen in many different ways. We are not seeing it in one way. Like, are we seeing marriage only from 7th house? We are seeing marriage in 12th house. 7th house, we are saying, is the place you meet the other. Right. 3rd house, we are saying, is copulation. 12th house, we are saying, is the bed. So many places we are saying. Now when you add Arurapadas to it and all, it will, you will have many more places. Because there are different natures. So second and eighth house are Rudra powers. Rudra comes from there to make you cry. So absolutely death inflicted sufferings, accidents, everything are given by Rudras. So naturally if you are ill and if you are having dashas of those houses and planets, naturally there is a chance that you may go, isn't it? Those are all points where you can go. Maranasthana, second house and seventh house. Marakesh, second lord and seventh lord. Twelfth lord, twelfth house also, because you are going away from that house. But that is a mokshasthana, that is a natural going away. That is a natural going away that should happen to anybody. Somebody can do a desired death, what is called an ichchamrityu. That, you know, great sense is that right this moment I want to leave my body, they can shut their eyes, go into some supreme elevated level and leave the, and the soul will leave the body. You will see that from the 12th house definitely. Rudra hasn't come in over there. So it is a concept of moksha. Whether you receive moksha or not. Your hospital is also there. The 12th house is a hospital. Your doctor is not there. Your doctor is in the 4th house. Remember, because he's curing you, nurturing you like your mom with the moon. 12th house is hospital because the hospital bed is also over there. So it is a hospital sleep. It is your final sleep. It is a daily sleep that you are doing. And it is the nuptial bed as well, your bed pleasures. There suddenly, remember, the planets over there are acting like a priest because they want to find your mate for the bed. They want to find your mate for the bed. And that is why it is most strongly related to marriage, because your permanent bedmate is really the spouse. That is why it is the marriage. Seventh house, you are just meeting. You may date and you may have coffee and you may have a little thing and you may even have an affair. But that person may not be your permanent bedmate. So the permanent bedmate is the spouse. That is why over there. Now, that is why you understand why the Bhadrapada, the symbol of the bed or the nakshatras are over there. It is the final thing. Alright, delicate houses. We really want a benefic over there. Really. And I told you about Shubha Yogas, so benefic planet anyway over there and the benefic planet in second house are going to have very positive influences on your head, the way you think, on your life, on Lagna. Very crucial. So, what has he said? Have we read this? We haven't read this. So, Vyayam Cha, Vairi Vrittantari, Mamantyadikam Tatha Vyaya Chaisha Hi Yata Yamini Sarvatra Dhimata. So we've gone through most of it. Vyaya is the expense, loss, sacrifice, passing away, etc. Yes, when we are talking about giving away an expenditure, this is a house from where you give also. So if you are a very a giver, how much you give is seen from this house. They say nobody is a greater giver than the sun. So if you have sun in the 12th house, though interestingly it is the Maranakarak for the sun. It is Maranakarak sthana for the sun. Why? Because sun is the life giver, it is a karak of a lagna, and the 12th house is a negation of the lagna. So he cannot do life creation out there. Insofar he is Maranakarak in the 12th house. But whereas giving is concerned, nobody can give like the sun. Nobody can give like the sun. So how much you give? So your giving is not only in terms of payments to the tax or buying things to the shopkeeper or to the hotel owner or to your course. It's not just buying to purchase something, but it's also the charity that you're giving.
Perfectly fits.
What do you have to tell us? Leo is there?
Yes, yeah, it's a Leo sign, but I never believed in giving money. And sun is in the second floor, I always give the food.
Okay. Interesting. Second lord and 12th lord and second youth. But you believe in donating food, otherwise you don't like to give anything.
I don't like to give money. I like to give
food. You like to give food because it has gone over there. Because it has gone to the second. But you must be giving a lot of it. Because sun will be a very big giver. And it is in your 12th lord in your chart. So you must be giving a lot of it over there. So nobody really can give over there. So when many of you who have done Arurapadas, you would be familiar with the concept of Upapada. Right? Upapada is the Arurapada of the 12th house. And that shows our spouse. And normally, whenever anybody has a marriage blockage, it is a very typical remedy of our tradition to do the fast of the day of your Upapada. Very common, many of you know that. Why is that given? That is given because 12,000 house of giving away, they say that in the marriage, if the bed partner, your spouse is over there, you must really give. That true marriage is all about giving. Giving not just in the sense of, you know, giving gifts, but giving in the sense of giving yourself or giving your life. That is the sense of the true marriage. So if you have blockages over there, if you fast on that day, you're burning some karmas. So that is why the Arurapada of the 12th house, which is called Upapada, that is the wife, spouse over there, again. Alright. So whatever you are sacrificing, whatever you are giving, how big a giver you are is seen over there. Vairi vritta anta, vairi is enemy. All your secret enemies are over there. Enemies are in 6th house, 12th house secret enemies, you cannot see. That's why Rahu in the 12th house from anywhere, we see briefly that you really have secret enemies whom you can't see. Vritta is turning around, finishing, studying and mastering. Tortoise. Why is it related to the tortoise? Karaka Shani, that's why. No, I don't think so. I really don't know why the tortoise is related, connected over there. Anybody? During the church, tortoise is kept in the ocean, that's right. Okay, so Nivedita says because it is Pisces, the natural 12th house, and the churning of the ocean happened from there, hence it is a tortoise. I don't know, I'm not very sure about it. What do the rest of you think?
That acts as a base for our churning of mind.
Maybe. I'm not sure about the tortoise. It is also said that it is a house of transforming. Because, yes, tell me.
I'm just thinking going back to enemy.
Yes.
Secret enemy.
Yes, 12th house is definitely secret enemies.
And because it's the 12th and it's a shadow house, it's what we can't see at
yes,
all. Not
absolutely.
Just an external enemy, but it kind of like in the subconscious, things we are not actually conscious of, you know.
Internal enemies we are seeing from 6th house.
But he mentions further down, Riku.
Ripu means enemy. Ripu means enemy. The word Ripu means enemy. It doesn't mean internal. Ripu is enemy. That is why 6th house is generally known as Ripu Bhava also. The word Ripu is enemy. If I say you are my Ripu, you are my enemy. Shatru, Ripu, these all mean the same thing. Alright, so Shatripu means the 6 enemies. 12th house really is the house, what you have said correctly, is a shadow house. 2nd, 12th and 6th and 8th houses, when you do Graha Drishti, you will learn these are the 4 houses which are the shadow houses from the sun. Remember we have done shadow houses from the sun? Hence no planet has drishtis in the 2, 12, 6 and 8 from himself. That is the principle. So 12th house is something which we can't see. Secret enemies, we can't see. People who are stabbing you from the back. Internal enemies are definitely 6th house. That is real enemies. So we don't like to have malefics in the 12th house. Malefics in the 12th house will cause a lot of damage. Enemies you can't see. A bad bed. All things associated with bed becomes bad. Whether it is your relationship with a spouse, experience with a spouse, whether it is your experiences in the hospital, whether it is your passing away. All of that would be malefic. We don't want the malefic planet in the 12th house at all. Normally you would think malefic planet in the 12th house, wow, good. You know, this planet it has gone to. No, not where the 12th house is concerned. We don't want it. So, Ripu here also means Astar. He has said Ripaha. He has said is Anta. Here, the word Anti. Vairi Vritta Anta. Anta means the end or finish or complete. The word Rihafa means 12th house and it has come from Ripu, and for there is a whole explanation of how the word has been derived. And again Antya is mentioned, Antya Adi means Antya etc. That is the last moment or the karma of. That is death. In the day, it refers to sleep. In terms of attention, it refers to spouse. In the sense of object, it refers to bed. All this we have talked about it. That whole thing refers to Antya Adi. Antya means end, Adi means etc. Everything that is related to your end or the bed is the things that we discussed. Okay? So I think we can...
Tortoise, why it is?
Tortoise, I don't know why it is. I really don't know why it is tortoise. Maybe her explanation comes closest. But anyway, that is obviously not a very crucial thing. The crucial thing is what I've already told you. We'll find out what the tortoise is. I don't know about the tortoise at all. I've never heard about the tortoise. Yes, it's true. What she's saying, it is true. The churning of the ocean, Pisces is the ocean. The churning of the ocean happens over here. And the Kurma Avatara was involved in the churning of the ocean. From where Lakshmi came and all the gems came and everything happened. So that seems to be the most likely connection.
How does study and master come into
it? Vairi Vrittantari. Vritta says something that is turning around, finishing study and master. From the ninth house, it is the
fourth. Taken from top house.
Ninth house is saying from the fourth. It's the fourth from the ninth. It is the fourth from the ninth.
Which is also trying to the fourth house.
We don't do, you know, Bohindranath ji, our house studies are a little bit different. If we do research, I mean, our study or understanding of houses are based on the Shastra. We don't really like to follow non-Shastric belief. You can extrapolate on the Shastric understanding and discuss and debate on it. No, it is the fourth from the ninth. Research is from the eighth house. There where you're digging deep. As a planet, Rahu will show research because Rahu has the capacity to dig deep. So anybody with a very strong Rahu is very good with research. Very, very good. Because they really dig deep. They are very good investigators, also private investigators. Because they can dig deep and unearth things that cannot be seen. That is Rahu's quality. So amongst the grahas, Rahu is a very good researcher. Rahu is a very good private investigator. Rahu is very good miner because again things which are mined are again underneath which you can't see. Rahu is very good in diplomacy because Rahu, remember, is the cheat, is the charlatan, is the one who cheats you. You think he's a very sweet and nice person but actually stabs you in the back. Somebody who stabs you in the back is Rahu, but in front of you is a friend and a very sweet person. So Rahu is what a sweet talker which is required in diplomacy. Doesn't matter what you mean, you have to be very careful of what you say. Words are measured and sweetly talking. So Rahu is very diplomatic.
Snake goes down, yes.
Yeah, and to unearth that which can't be seen. People having Rahu in 5th and 9th house can see through people like this. Panchama Rahu. Anybody here who has 5th house Rahu?
Me also.
So Guruji is always telling, if we meet someone, I say, you know, this person doesn't look okay to me. He said, oh, that's just your 5th house Rahu talking. But it gives us the ability to just see. I don't have to think. I can just see and you can make out. You have that?
It's from the childhood. When some people come to parents, I always say, this is good, this is not good. They never listen to me. And finally...
They never listen to us.
Yeah. Finally, it came true.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true. I also had it for my childhood. I could make out, just had a thing. It must be helping you in your profession a lot. And you must be assessing. You must be able to tell your seniors, oh God, I think there's...
I can judge a person by...
Straight you. Away. As a lawyer, that is very beneficial to you. But 8th house is ruled by Scorpio, right? And 8th house again is occult knowledge also over there. 8th house Scorpio rules the well. Again, that which is deep below. 8th house is very good for research. 8th house is excellent for research. So it's like, you know, you are saying 6th house is for loan. 6th house is not for loan. So the thing is that you can quote another Shastra to me, but don't quote a non-Shastra to me. If you say another Shastra is saying this, it's very much well of, okay, why has Kalyana Varma said this? Where is in the Kalyana, this is going, you know, you do a Shastric debate. What one Rishi has said and another Rishi has said, we do. We often do that in our discussions also. that this is over here, although in another this thing, so and so in Saradari Kalyanavarma said this. To debate among the masters was given to us. But don't tell me if now today one of us were to write a book and say that that is there. Non-Shastic reference, we are not interested in our tradition. Tradition stems from the Shastras, where whichever part of India it comes from. That is a thing, and that is something we stress with the students. Okay. So I think this gives you the overall, the main intention is for you to give a deeper understanding of the bhavas. What is the real deeper meaning, the higher meaning of the houses? That is the main thing. Then there are a lot of small significations which you can do on your own and take out and which can get covered. So like if we are talking about the 12th house, yes is the bed, yes is the house of going away, yes is the house of hospitals, yes is the house of expenses, yes is the house of secret enemies. But you know the deeper reason why and where it's all getting tied up. Alright? So I was now supposed to take, you are supposed to start Bhavesha and you are supposed to do Lagnesha and Dhanesha. And I was supposed to take that, but I have kind of stressed on Guruji to take it for you all. So he will do the class, okay? I may probably come back and take Karnesha with you. You're welcome.
Thank you. So we're breaking now?
Yeah, we are breaking now. What's the time?
It's 9:30.
That's perfect. I told you 9:30.